to Lax Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network. This is Marissa and Jemmy here from InLacrosseWeTrust.com and the La Crosse Radio Network. We have an interesting show for you here today. We're talking to Ohio Machine head coach Bear Davis about the MLL draft and about his roster heading into the season. We're also going to talk to Greg Merrill from Brain Century, which was an interesting company that we met at the La Crosse Convention this year in Baltimore. So we want to talk about their product a bit. We have a few more new podcasts up on the website you can check out. We have an interview with David Wilder from Spledger, which is an interesting fundraising company we also met at the convention. So you can go check that out. A few more interviews from the week from the Baltimore Bombers game. You can actually listen to that game in full on the website, too, if you're interested in that. But we have a few interviews with Rob Starr and Ryan Wheeler and Jeff Joyce with other video-type things. And we have Commissioner David Gross after the draft with Major League Lacrosse. So that's all the multimedia stuff you can kind of catch up on there. I'm also going to be talking this show a bit about the NLL, make game picks. There are a couple games tonight. I want to talk a little bit about that Black Wolves Minnesota Swarm game from last week because I just thought that game was interesting. I want to hit on the Calgary Roughnecks, and I'm also going to analyze a little bit about the MLL draft. I did my top 40 prospect list right before the draft, and MLL was kind enough to post it as well. And I haven't looked yet, so I'm going to be looking at it on the radio on this podcast for the first time and compare how I actually did. I already know my top 10 weren't so great, but that was skewed because of all the Canadians going later in the draft than expected. So we'll take a look at that. I will make NLL game picks coming up in a couple minutes here. We'll have our interview with Bear Davis, then we'll talk to Greg Merrill, and then we'll hit on all that fun other lacrosse stuff. We are back here on Lax Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network with Ohio Machine head coach Bear Davis. And Bear, welcome to the show, and I just want to get your opinion overall about how you guys think you did during the draft.
First off, thanks for having me, first of all, and I would say that we feel pretty confident that our draft went fairly well, considering going into the draft. We did not have a pick in the first three rounds, so we kind of had to calculate what we were going to be able to do with that situation.
And when you traded up into the third round, was your goal to acquire Jimmy Bitter? Is that who you were trading up to get?
Well, Jimmy Bitter was the guy that we had our eye on, and we did have the situation, with Denver, that we could have worked out, but we wanted to make sure that the guy we wanted was still available, and that's why we didn't do it earlier, because if Jimmy had been taken off the board, then we didn't want to trade up, for someone else.
And you traded away Max Schmidt to get Bitter in that third round. Earlier in the offseason, you acquired Brian Karalunas as a part of that trade with Boston and New York. Do you think acquiring Karalunas opened that door to be able to afford to trade a guy like Schmidt?
Well, it definitely did. I mean, with picking up BK, that allows us to move Waldeck down to close defense, and then Max is certainly a great defenseman. I mean, we had great run with him on our roster, but it made sense for us at the time. We basically have Dana and Waldeck, coming back, which gives us great guys down on the base defense there, and then BK and Farrell at the pole, long stick midi, and we have about eight guys, right, ready to battle it out. I'd say seven right now for that third close, defenseman position, and we had Jackson Place, who was rookie last year, who played some for us. He'll be the guy that we'll be looking at, for that spot. And our supplemental draft was great on the defensive end, and I think sometimes people forget about the supplemental draft too.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to ask you about a few guys you picked up there, specifically Zach Palmer, who's out of Johns Hopkins. He's been picked up by a couple teams now, haven't seen much action. Are you expecting him to play this season?
Well, for us, as it's pretty well known that Logan Suss had started a new job, and I think for him to sit out with the Swarm, but now he's back with the Swarm, and he's a box player. So we have a guy that, regardless of either one of the situations, was going to put him out of our lineup early, and we're all kind of faced with that in the league with the crossover times between the NLL and the MLL. So not preparing yourself for you know, those guys being out of your lineup, and you know, I feel like you're crazy. And Zach is just a, you know, he's a great, you know, left-handed attackman, and same with Carter Bender, and just to add Bender to that mix, you know, we felt like we're preparing ourselves for you know, possible, you know, worst case scenario, and you know, if we don't do that, like I said, shame on us.
And that's really an interesting subject. I talked to Commissioner David Groth after the draft, and he said at April 12th season start time, the league's going to stay with that for a long time. And as we know, the NLL has expanded their season into June, and they have playoff series now the last 2 weeks. So, and we saw, too, in the draft, a lot of Canadian box players dropped. I think Jesse King was the only one selected in the first round, and in reality, there were a lot of Canadian prospects who could have been second or third overall picks. You mentioned a guy like Logan Schuss as well, and there are certainly plenty of players like that throughout the league. Is there a general concern throughout the league and the coaches and the general managers and just the executive level even of this situation going long-term?
There's no question that you know, it's got to be in the back of everyone's mind, you know, what's going on with those guys. And you know, you can take less risk, I should say. I don't think like Jesse King is a risk. I think he's a guy that comes in, he helps anybody out. You know, but there's a couple different strategies that you can go into it. You know, you can say, you know, it's a guy that you're going to have for 4 or 5 games. Ultimately, you're going to be, you can gel with that guy. He's going to be better in the long run than the guy that's going to come in for maybe possibly 4 or 5 games into the season. Then you have to readjust your lineup. So there's continuity questions, you know, and I think if a guy's a bubble player where you think he might be good, I just don't see why, you know, people holding roster spots for that long a period of time to possibly, you know, wait for the box season to be over, get the guy in and see if he's, you know, capable of playing. So it's, I just feel like the for sure guys are no question, you know, going to get drafted. But, you know, people are going to start comparing. You know, is there another guy that doesn't play box that's, you know, comparable? And if there is, they're probably going to go with that guy.
It's such an interesting situation because there are so many great players in the league like John Grant Jr. or Jeff Snyder who don't come till late in the season. And the problem, too, is even after the NLL season ends, there's still the Canadian Summer Leagues in Ontario and British Columbia. Do you guys look at that at all, just as a different aspect of the NLL, and do you consider that more of a problem?
Well, there's a bit of wear and tear on a player. I mean, you know, if they're playing NLL and they're playing their indoor, you know, junior or senior A, and they're playing for you, I mean, you can see if a guy plays like on a Thursday night, he gets on a Friday flight, and then he's practicing Friday night, he's practicing Saturday morning, he's playing Saturday night. I mean, there can be a little bit of wear and tear on a guy that, you know, and plus not to mention the travel, you know, like if he's traveling from, you know, a BC, you know, with the Thursday night game, he travels from BC, it's a long flight. It's just difficult, you know, so, I mean, there's no way else to put it. It's hard on a guy, and you got to weigh all that in, and there's some guys, you know, like, you know, there are guys that have been able to prevail and stay healthy and do well, but, you know, it's, like I said, it's not easy.
And I just have a couple more questions about the Ohio roster as a whole now. Other than that bitter pick, you also picked up guys like Ryan Izzo out of UMass, who on the radio show Friday, me and a lot of the people on the show were talking about him specifically being a good sleeper pick. You picked up David Planning from Ohio State. Which of these guys that you picked after bitter do you see as kind of your guy to watch out of the draft?
We're excited to sit back and to see how all these guys develop, you know, throughout the spring. And you know, I think the reality of the draft in general is if you get 2 or 3 guys out of the college draft to come in and really help you right away, then you're going to have a successful draft. You know, it's very rare you're going to have all you know, 9 guys or how many you get in the draft, man, 7, you know, are going to come in and play for you. I mean, if you do, then your roster's pretty, you know, not real good at the time. You're in a scary situation. You know, there's some, you know, we felt like the proper depth at each position to, you know, be prepared. You know, if some things aren't working out by the time they're eligible and ready to play, then we had options. But you know, David, planning is tremendous. You know, I was being able to go over and see, you know, Ohio State practice being right here, and just see his interactions and leadership ability and the things that he does, and he'll be available to come to practices, and you know, we'll be able to further develop him over the summer until, you know, there's an opportunity to put him on the field if that should, you know, arrive, and then he'll be ready. But it is, though, you know, like just a tough, you know, two-way mini. I mean, the guy's the state all-time high school like touchdown, you know, record there. I mean, he's just a tough-nosed kid. And I think that for us, you know, D-Mini is something that you want to continue to you know, work on. We have Marshall who sat out all of last year. And, you know, he's healthy and ready to come in camp. I mean, we just got to be prepared. You know, we certainly hope nothing happens, but something should. You know, we got some options coming out of college.
And now, last question, just because I'm kind of interested about the way goalies are handled in Major League Lacrosse, because going into the season, every team seems to have a ton of goalie depth, and then all of a sudden everyone needs a backup most of the time. But you guys have Brian Phipps, you brought back Steven Schroeder, you added Austin Glyther from High Point out of the draft, you picked up Will Haas at the supplemental draft. What's your situation, and what are you looking at going into the year as far as goalies go?
Well, Will and Steph are both local, so, you know, and they're both great. So we got pretty fortunate to be able to pull those guys and put them on the roster and you know, have a little competition there at camp. And, you know, Scotty and Phipps, you know, had some good battles in there. And, you know, Steph is not real far off, and we expect Austin to compete too. And you know, so we got four, we feel, really good goalies. I mean, all three, you know, returners are all guys that started games in this league, and that's tremendous. And it's gonna be fun to sit back and watch Geisler play this spring. We think he's a great talent. You know, he's you know, Coach Torby,
back here on Lax Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network, here with Greg Merrill from Brain Century. And Greg, welcome to the show. And I was really impressed with your product at the Lacrosse Convention in Baltimore. So can you just tell us a little bit about what you do at Brain Century?
Thanks so much. It's wonderful to be on the show. Yeah, Brain Century is developing a sensor that attaches on the lacrosse helmet and lets us know if one of the players has been exposed to a risk factor for concussion. That is, the player's been hit hard in the head and needs to be observed to see if they have any signs or symptoms of concussion.
And concussions have been such an issue in sports for a long time. We've seen it in football, we've seen it in hockey. Lacrosse is a sport people don't really think of a lot with a concussion risk, but it really is a problem at the college, the youth, and the professional level. Which levels are you targeting to start off for as far as getting Brain Century working with different teams?
Our primary focus is in the youth level. So we're looking at players at the high school or younger. You know, these are teams that are often managed by parents who volunteer to coach, and we're trying to provide an extra set of eyes out there on the field to let these coaches know which players need to be checked out.
You guys are already working with the Arena Football League, which I was really excited to see, actually, as a football fan. So what kind of response have you gotten from them so far, and what has the general reaction been?
It's been incredibly positive. You know, one of the concerns we had was how were the players going to respond to this technology, and it's been really, it's been very gratifying for me because the players have come up to me personally to thank me for our work in helping keeping them safe. So the players really like it. The coaches are supportive. The owners are supportive. You know, Arena Football is now in their third year of using Brain Century technology, so they've very much embraced the technology.
Something about the product, which I never really thought of when it came to concussions and made me think a little bit, is it tracks how many hard or physical hits a player has taken over a week or a month or a year. And something you guys mentioned to me at the convention was how when you find out which player is getting hit a lot, you can figure out how they can be protected better. Is that something you have seen happen a lot? And what's a way that a player can avoid taking those big hits like that?
Well, you know, it's really difficult for the players in the heat of the moment to keep track of how often they're hitting their heads. And the coaches are looking after, you know, a lot of players. you know, in football as well as in lacrosse and in hockey as well. Those are the three sports that we're working in. So by keeping track of the just sub-concussive hits, which is what this impact count feature does of the sensor, it gives coaches some insight into which the players are hitting their heads excessively relative to the other players. And at this point in the understanding of the science, we don't know how many hits is too many hits, but we know for sure that fewer hits is better than more hits. So if we're able to identify a player that is playing with technique that involves too much head contact, this sensor is going to let us know who that player is.
And how did you guys come up with the idea for something like this? Because just looking at, I follow a lot of hockey, a lot of football, and concussions has been to talk for a while now. This almost seems like such an obvious solution.
Well, you know, it started for me when I was working with a military technology for brain injury diagnostics in the battlefield. And my original thought was to take this diagnostic technology and use it on the sidelines for football. But what I realized when I really started learning about what is happening in football is that we are very dependent on the players themselves to acknowledge when they are experiencing a symptom of concussion. And it's just human nature not to want to take yourself out of the game. If you're a competitive athlete, you're not going to take yourself out of the game, so they don't say anything. And that's what led me to looking for ways to take the ego out of the decision of who gets assessed. And an accelerometer on the head objectively lets us know which players need to be checked out without the ego being involved. So it was a progression of figuring out there's a problem in determining which players need to be assessed and finding out that there's an objective, cost-effective way to do that with these sensors.
It's interesting because you see so many NFL players talk about how they'd never take themselves out and stuff like that. You see the repercussions from concussions later on. But last question here before I let you go. What's the future of Brain Sentry? What are you guys looking to do into next year? You guys were at the lacrosse convention, so obviously you're looking to get more involved in that. But a year from now, where do you project you guys?
Well, we're seeing more and more leagues start to mandate the use of this technology. So I believe that this type of sensor technology is going to be required for sports that involve head contact, and certainly football, hockey, lacrosse. But we're also working on non-helmeted sports. Soccer has a problem, particularly women's soccer, with a high rate of concussion. So we're working on ways of taking our sensor technology and putting it in headbands for non-helmeted sports. That means women's lacrosse, soccer, field hockey, and other activities where you're potentially exposed to head impact. So I think that there's a revolution going on right now in the availability of this kind of sensor technology and also in the understanding of the biophysics of brain injury. And so we're going to continue to build on these revolutions in making sports as safe as they possibly can.
Back here on LAC 5 Radio after our conversation with Greg Merrill and Bear Davis. Thanks to both of those guys. I'm just going to go over for a couple minutes here now the Top 40 Prospects project we did just to see how unpredictable most drafts can be, especially in lacrosse where there are factors there aren't in other sports possibly, such as location and playing in another league. So number one was Lyle Thompson. That was kind of obvious. Number two, I had Wes Berg, which a few people had their comments on, which I understand, and he did drop. I still think he's the number two prospect out of the draft. Number three was Jesse King, who did end up being a first-round pick, as we talked about with Bear Davis, despite being a Canadian player. Four was John Gleisner out of Army, who I think is a fantastic prospect, and he actually ended up going to the Boston Cannons with your second pick in the first round, which is really a good pick for them because your attack is a little different, your offense is a little different. Will Manny's going to run that unit, kind of like, he almost started to run that unit late in the year for the Cannons, and now Ryan Boyle's gone, so it's all Manny now. And they added Ryan Young, too. So you had Gleisner, who's kind of a, he's more of a physical guy, and he can score. He scored 43 goals last season with Army, and we get to see him again this year, see what he can do with the Cannons. Number five, Eric Adamson, who went in the second round to the Chesapeake Bay Hawks, because the Bay Hawks, we were talking to Dave Cottle about this at the draft. They just pick the best player available. They just can do that because of the way they build their roster. And they have the geographical advantage as well of just all the Baltimore guys are going there. So he was my number five guy. Number six is Connor Buzik out of Cornell, who was the second overall pick to Florida. Seven, I had Randy Stats, who fell pretty significantly. He went to the Rattlers, which I projected at some point anyways, but he had the injury history with the ACL. He actually went after Kevin Rice as well, who I had in the top 20, but I wasn't surprised Stats went after Rice, but I was surprised that both of those two went after Henry Schoonmaker and Hakeem Lackey, so that's kind of to note. Number eight, I had Chad Tutton. Number 9, Wells Stanwyck, and number 10, Joey Sankey. So that kind of rounded up the top 10, which I don't think anyone would say was a bad top 10, considering the league situation. 11 was Kevin Rice, he fell. 12 was Charlie Raffa, which kind of makes sense. Chesapeake took him, which I think I even wrote, this is where he's going. Nico Ponchiarello, 13. Nicky Galasso, 14. I kind of took some heat on this one, and I guess it's justified because he never was drafted. I talked to a few people the other day saying they think the New York Lizards could pick him up, give him a chance, so that wouldn't be too surprising. 15, Ryan Tucker, who went early, because he's the son of Boston Cannons head coach John Tucker, so not surprising. Number 16, Jimmy Bitter, who went to Ohio. We talked about him a bit. 17, Kevin Massa, the other faceoff guy. 18, Shane Adams, who didn't go, which I liked him. A lot of people said he's not going to out of University of Detroit Mercy and Canadian guy. I like Adams, so we'll see. 19 is Matt Poilon, our top goalie, makes sense. Number 20 was Goran Murray, who nobody ended up taking. He was the best defenseman in the draft, but he had some injury history, and I guess some people said he wasn't going to play. So I guess that was the situation with him, and that's why he went undrafted. This was a bad draft for defensive players anyway. Didn't see much defense taken, so that's going into the year. Our goalie, I believe only two goalies were drafted, which was somewhat interesting. But something we talked about on the draft show, which had Brendan Chamberlain, Brandon Staudt, Andrew Goldberg, Rocco Granato, Brian Davies, and like every coach in the league. And I asked a lot of coaches about this too, and our panel discussed it. It's really interesting the way goalies are handled in all pro lacrosse now, because there are so few teams and so many good goalies. And we're seeing it in the NLL now, teams don't really draft goalies as much. And when they do, it's just because they're such a solid guy already, because you can just go pick somebody up or make a trade for somebody. So here's a prime example of that. The New England Black Wolves in the NLL had a camp with like five goalies who could probably be a pro goalie. None of them made it because they just went and traded for Ty Belanger out of Colorado because they had Alexis Bouquet ready to step in as their backup to Dylan Ward, who's assigned a huge extension. So we're seeing this a lot. In MLL, we see it a bit. We talked to Ohio about it. It seems like every year, every team has this gross amount of goalies, but then they need someone else. So it's just an interesting thing to watch. I find it fascinating the way goalies are handled in pro lacrosse nowadays. Just getting to some of the NLL games tonight. The Minnesota Swarm play the Buffalo Bandits, and the New England Black Wolves play Edmonton. New England lost last week to Minnesota at home. But Minnesota put up 19 goals on them. They just went crazy, kind of. New England scored 13 as well, but it's the first time we've seen some holes in that New England defense. So far this year, they've just looked awesome. They going into last week, led the league in goals against average. And Minnesota can score all of a sudden. I was talking to Callum Crawford, who's one of the bloggers on the website now, too. Look out for Minnesota's offense. They're better than people think they are. They have Logan Schuss back now, too. People don't realize Shane Jackson's just becoming a stud right before our eyes. Crawford's having a fantastic year. He's a top 10 player in the league. So Minnesota can score. Against Edmonton, they made that run, that 11-1 run after trailing 9-3 in the game. So Minnesota can score. They're playing Buffalo tonight, but we'll get to that game in a second. When it comes to New England, now they're heading to Edmonton tonight. And Edmonton's coming off of their first win of the year. They beat Calgary. Calgary's now 0-3, and they're panicking. But the Rush are still one of the better rosters in the league. They traded Corey Small because they wanted Riley Lowen to get more time. They wanted to get Tyler Melnick in there, the rookie out of Marquette. And Okotoks junior team. I hope I said that right. I think it's either Okotoks or Okotoks, but I hope I said that right, in Alberta. So they're looking to have a different look now, but these teams, Edmonton's known to have the best defense in the league, and on paper they do, and New England, before last week, was playing fantastic on defense, so I wonder how that game's going to work out. Now you have Minnesota coming off two straight wins, heading to Buffalo. Buffalo had an interesting weekend. They lost to Toronto, at Toronto after they had beat Vancouver the week before. John Tavares is on the IR for at least 3 to 10 weeks, and I don't know what the situation is with him completely. He didn't play very well against Toronto before he got hurt anyways. So they're going to have a different look. Well, they'll look the same against Toronto, seeing Tavares didn't play much. But so Buffalo kind of has a tough one. For these games tonight, I'm going to pick Edmonton against New England, because for the first time ever, I picked New England last week, and they lost. And I honestly don't think they'll win in Edmonton. And I'm going to go with Minnesota winning at Buffalo tonight. I just love the way Minnesota looks. I think Zach Higgins, when he came in last week, and the week before when he came in that third quarter, I think he looked like an NHL starter. I think he's better than Brody McDonald, so as long as they keep him playing, I think Minnesota can win games. Games tomorrow night, we have Calgary at Toronto. Toronto suffered their first loss against Rochester last week, where they only scored 6 goals, and that's just because Matt Vince can do that to you sometimes. But they're 3-1 on the year, the Toronto Rock. They've looked great, even without Colin Doyle and Garrett Billings, because Brett Hickey and Rob Hellier are all of a sudden NHL stars. And if you've ever listened to me on the radio the past 5 years or so, you know that I've been calling for Rob Hellier to be an NHL star for a few years now, so I'm pretty happy with this. But they're playing Calgary, who's now 0-3. And the Roughnecks are looking to get a win to stay in that Western Conference race, because all of a sudden Colorado scored 20 goals in 2 of their games, and in the other game they scored 17. They're the only undefeated team left. Vancouver, they're struggling a bit. They had their 1-3, but it's still more wins than Calgary have than Vancouver. If they just improve that defense, they can be a good team. And Edmonton, now 1-2, they're ahead of them too, and the Rush could just get going. We saw them win 16 straight games, or they went 16-2 last year, so we've seen them go on runs. And I'll pick that game in a second, because we've two more games to talk about. Buffalo at Rochester. Coming off of a back-to-back, it's really hard to figure out what that game's going to be like. How does Buffalo do against Minnesota? What developments come from that game? But Buffalo's going to Rochester. The Nighthawks are coming off of a win, which was their first win of the season, finally, for them. So they don't have to worry about their situation now. Matt Vince played great last week against Toronto. We'll see how Buffalo's offense looks, but that's going to be an interesting game. It's a rivalry game as well. Last game of the week, Colorado at Vancouver. Oh, God, Colorado could have a field day this game, because Vancouver has not improved their defense. They've had a lot of injuries. Tyler Richards hung out to dry a couple times. And Colorado's offense, I wrote about it before the season, and like twice since the season started. They have the best offense in the league right now. And Toronto looks good, I know. I know Minnesota looks good, and I love them. Colorado's offense is just ridiculous. They have John Grant Jr., they have Adam Jones, Sean Pollock, Ethan Iannucci, Eli McLaughlin's having a great season. Guys like Cam Holding are contributing. So Colorado, they could score 20 goals again against Vancouver. And I don't know how much Vancouver is going to score. They only scored 9 goals last week at Colorado. So this is a rematch game too. But I don't know. I mean, Colorado's defense is a lot better than people think too. And Dylan Ward, I mean, we all know how good he is. But Corey Small hasn't helped that offense any so far. We'll see if he's more used to it now. To me, I don't know how Small works out in Vancouver, because you and I talked about this on NHL Pregame Live last week from the convention. You have him, you have Lewis Ratcliffe, you have Rhys Dutch. Who gets the ball? So that's something to watch again. Picking those games, I'm going to pick, and this is hard, but I'm going to pick Toronto at home just because I love the way they've looked. I'm going to pick Rochester just because I hate picking teams in a back-to-back situation. I have no statistical reason. I just don't like doing it. And then I'm picking Colorado at Vancouver, as you could have probably guessed listening to me talk about that. So we're going to wrap up the show now, because I've talked about enough that you need to hear in lacrosse. Thanks for listening to Lax Live Radio. We have a few more really good podcasts up if you want to listen to NHL Weekly with Brian Snow. He's been doing a great job with the interviews. We have Clax Weekly with Ryan Zuner and Chris Vail. A few more different podcasts. MLL Roundtable from the draft. I know the draft's like a week old, but that podcast is just so good. Joe Keegan's on it as well with Brendan Stott and Andrew Goldberg. So listen to that. It's really good. On the site today, you can check out Callum Crawford's blog before the Swarm game tonight. Get an insider perspective with the Minnesota Swarm. That's all I have. So if you want the best lacrosse news on the planet, you know where to go. I'm just here not to get fined. So we'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening to Lax Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network.